and pay homage to the Gautama who, moved by his compassion toward the sacred Dharma, to rid us of distorted views. Da denbe tum nam nam ba kun de na so ti sung ba yen de chen ju sen be so che san ge ki ne yum de la se salutation from Abhisamaya Alankara ge me ba che ba me be verses of salutation from Buddhist Mula Madhyamaka Karika by Master Nagarjuna tam ba te la cho tse no to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly, I seek refuge until enlightenment is reached through the practices of generosity and so forth, through the collections of, by the practice of generosity and so forth, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So first, we'll do the 37 practices of bodhisattvas. So since Gyatso Tongmen Sangpo lived in the hermitage of Ngulchu, he was called Ngulchu Duelse. So Gelse, meaning the Jinaputras, or this child of or son of the victorious ones, refers to the bodhisattvas. It's another epithet of bodhisattvas, and therefore this through the training in the path and progressing along the path to enlightenment, the bodhisattvas reach enlightenment, and they are called the son or children of Buddha, victorious ones. And Gyatso Tongmen Sangpo got that title as a practitioner of bodhicitta. And so he was a contemporary of the omniscient Buddhan Rinchen Drup. And at one time, Buddhan Rinchen Drup had pain in his arms. And then he sought blessing from Gyatso Tongmen Sangpo to, and asking him to blow, since you are known as a bodhisattva. And he asked him to, he asked him, please blow on my hand. And then he did that, and Buddhan was healed. And then at one time, Gyatso Tongmen Sangpo was passing through some mountain paths, and he met with some robbers, and the offerings that Gyatso Tongmen Sangpo had received was actually snatched by this robber. And then Tongmen Sangpo actually told this robber that he should not go in a certain direction, because then the people who had actually made those offerings to him that he had given to the robber may see this, and then the offerings in his hands, and may cause harm to him. And therefore, as a great bodhisattva, a practitioner of bodhicitta, I mean, he was in also, there's in his life story, it is said that some fox or wolf actually came nearby him and sat next to him. And then he has also written a commentary on Sutra, Mahayana Sutra Alamkara, or on the sublime continuum, Mahayana Uttara Tantra, which I have read. So we're going through the text. So the homage first is made to Golokeshwara. And then the next verse regarding that, Since there is the teaching on the two truths, this verse relates to these two truths. And so, although in the ultimate sense, in the from the ultimate point of view, nothing exists as this or that, but in conventional terms, it says that to the Supreme Teacher, I pay homage through the three doors to the Supreme Teacher and Protector Chandrasekh, who, while seeing all phenomena lack coming and going, so that is in conventional terms, makes single-minded effort for the good of living beings. And then the next is the promise to compose the text. And then the first verse, numbered first, talks about the threefold practices of hearing or listening to the teachings, reflecting on and meditating on the teachings. And so it is not enough just to listen or hear teachings just and getting some kind of an idea, or this is this is that, and so forth, will not really have any transformational effect, but one needs to reflect on those teachings over and over again, and through that gain conviction in the teachings. And having gained conviction in the teachings, then you meditate on it, and familiarize your mind with that, so that you actually integrate these three, hearing, listening to the teachings and studying, teaching, reflection and meditation. And through this process, then you'll be able to make progress along the fivefold path referred to, given in the Heart Sutra. So go beyond, go perfectly beyond, and found lay the foundation in the Bodhi, enlightenment. So next verse shows that of giving up one's home land, and the purpose of that or the benefit of that is shown in the next verse. And the next verse teaches impermanence. Loved ones who have long kept company will pass. Wealth created with difficulty will be left behind. Consciousness, the guest, will leave the guest house of the body, let go of this life. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. And also next verse shows, give up bad friends, meaning evil friends or non-virtuous ones. It's better to stay away from them. And then the next verse, when you rely on them, your faults come to an end. And so this shows the reliance on one's spiritual teachers. And verse number 7, as Master Dignaka mentions the Buddha as someone who has become an authority or reliable being and who thinks of helping or benefiting others, and the teacher, savior. And so such a teacher who is incontrovertible, not deceptive, is not something like Creator God, who is said to be permanent, with evolved and permanent. So by using the Buddha, for example, the Shakyamuni Buddha went through the process of training his mind through study, reflection, meditation, and therefore the term having become the reliable is used for the Buddha. And he had that courage, determination, endeavor, diligence, and perseverance to engage in the practices for eons and eons. as with the determination as strong as it is mentioned in captured in this prayer, as long as space endures, as long as sentient beings remain, may I too abide to dispel the miseries of the transmigratory beings. And then the Buddha is also someone who benefits, thinks of, or who wishes and has the thought to benefit others. And the way he benefits others is not by washing away the sins of the sentient beings, nor by removing the suffering of sentient beings, nor by transferring his own realization into others. But how does a Buddha help sentient beings is, having gone through the path himself and gained the experience himself, and being embodiment of experience of those paths, and then he's able to teach that to others, and therefore he teaches this reality of the things as it is. And therefore, in order to be able to, what this shows is that in order to be able to show others the path that leads to enlightenment, you should have the experience, the knowledge, and then experience of it, so that you can actually share it with others. And therefore, the Buddha is someone who has become a teacher, who is a teacher to, who can show that path to others from his own experience. And then the Buddha has also reached the understanding, the realization of cessation, and purification of the negativities from one's own mind, his own mind stream, and also the realization of the everything as the conventional, as well as those of the that of the ultimate. And so he is also said to be the Sugata, the blissfully gone. And he is the savior to others. And so such a teacher, by taking him as one's refuge, so by the way he saves beings from fearful existence is by showing us the path, so that we are able to integrate the teaching within ourselves in order to develop those qualities to, that leads one to purify the negativities and build up the positive qualities within oneself, and gradually reach the same goal as the Buddha has reached. And so this teaching is something that you can actually verify through reason and logic, so that you can gain some experience of it and insight into it, so that you will be able to actually infer the higher experiences from those experiences you have developed. So instead of such having such a quality of having gone through the path and experienced it and becoming enlightened, the worldly gods who are themselves in cycle of existence, jailed in the cycle of existence, and what worldly god can give you protection. Therefore, when you seek refuge, take refuge in the three jewels and so forth. And so when we talk about these suffering in sentient samsara, the cycle of existence and so forth, we are actually talking about this from the point of view of causality. So the causes which you create, which cause harm to others, which cause happiness to others, then that is, suffering to others is unwholesome action. And those actions which, when you could engage and do, creates happiness in others, and those are wholesome actions. And so, while you may wish to have happiness, if you harm others instead of happiness, you'll have suffering. And so if you are, if you wish to have happiness and you actually think of altruism, helping others, thinking of helping others, benefiting others, even if you say you do not want happiness, but suffering, you will have happiness. And therefore, the roots of our the suffering is that of the unwholesome actions. And therefore, verse number 8 shows that never do wrong. And then verse number 9, like dew on the tip of a blade of grass, pleasure of the world lasts only a while and then vanish. So when you actually see the faults of samsara and train yourself in the path so that you develop the true cessation, that is the cessation by having overcome those of the negativities on the path of seeing. For the first time, you attain that of the true cessation within yourself through the true path, which sees the reality as the ultimate reality. And then the verse number 10, when your mothers who have loved you since time without beginning, and so forth. So develop an altruistic attitude. And then the next verse. So if you are not sure whether you will have suffering by being selfish or not, then this verse teaches you that all suffering comes from the wish for your own happiness. Perfect Buddhas are born from the thought to help others. Therefore, exchange your own happiness for the suffering of others. This is the practice of Bodhisattva. And so with regard to this practice of exchanging, equaling, exchanging self and others, Bodhisattva Charya Avatara by Shantideva is the most extensive teaching. And so, of course, other texts like the Ratnavali by Nagarjuna and also the Bodhicitta Vivarana and so forth are there. But if you really wish to practice on a daily basis, you could use the Shantideva's Bodhisattva Charya Avatara. So he says that all suffering in the world comes from wishing oneself to be happy. All happiness in the world comes from wishing others to be happy. What need is there to say more? Look at the difference between the selfish, childish people, childish being, and the Buddhas. And he goes on to say that if you do not exchange your own happiness with the suffering of others, leave alone reaching Buddhahood, even in samsara, you will not have happiness. So who will trust you if you are remain selfish? Nobody will respect you. If you remain selfish and do all kinds of things out of selfishness, deceiving others and so forth, I mean, you will not be trusted by others. The more you are altruistic, then you will be able to achieve your own goal as a byproduct. So otherwise, you may say that, of course, it is good to train in the Bodhisattva path, altruistic path. Some people may think that it is good, but I mean, you actually would be at the losing end, and that is not true. So Shantideva says that which intelligent person will not ride the horse of bodhicitta, which leads one from that of bliss to bliss and overcomes all despair. And then he also dedicates, makes this just as the great elements and so forth. And so we are on verse number 13. Lama Zhaoyu once told me this story. There was a Tashikil monk, Lama of Tashikil Monastery of Amdo, and he was for a teacher to another Lama. And so this Lama was actually killed in, through execution. He was executed by the Chinese. So I had this story was told to me when he was being executed. Just before the execution, he actually requested the soldier to wait a minute. And his prayer at that time was, "Kind Venerable Master, therefore, kind Venerable Master, please bless me so that I can take upon myself all the suffering and defilements and negativities of others to myself, and that I be able to give my own excellent qualities to others." And then, having said that prayer, he said to the soldier, "Now you can shoot me." So at that point, if he was angry, if he had been angry, so this would not have been possible, and so you would quite be amazed if you think about this. Verse number 15. Though someone may write and speak bad words about you in the public gathering, looking on him as a spiritual teacher, bow to him with respect. This is practiced bodhisattvas. And then also the next verse. So the 8 verses of mind training seems this to be the basis of these verses. So verse number 17, if an equal or inferior person disparages you out of pride, place him as you would place your spiritual teacher with respect on your crown of, on the crown of your head. This is a practice of bodhisattvas. And then the next verse, when you are too destitute and discouraged, it is low-spirited, then it actually hampers you from practicing bodhicitta, and therefore it advises you, encourages you to practice bodhicitta, though you lack what you need and are constantly disparaged, afflicted by dangerous sickness and spirit, without discouragement, take on the misdeeds as, and pain of all living beings. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. So when you are praised by others too much, then you may feel proud and arrogant. And so at that time, you should have, should not feel puffed up. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. And verse number 20. So those who dislike you may do so with because they have some reason. So it may be because you have done something wrong, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and therefore people find excuses to say bad things and to you. But if you let go of all your desires and fear inside and so forth, then there will be less, automatically the people who talk bad and say disparage you will also decrease. And verse number 21. So in verse number 22 down shows the practice of ultimate bodhicitta. Whatever appears is in your own mind. So this could be interpreted from the Chittamatra point of views, the non-dual view of Chittamatras, or it could also be interpreted from the point of view of the Madhyamaka philosophy, philosophical view. So perhaps this is better. So although things do appear to us, the diversity of things appear to our mind, and because of the imprint of imprint in our minds of true existence and things, therefore things appear to have some true existence. And therefore, this is due to your mind. But if you try to think carefully whether there is something, what is the past, present, and future, you will not find anything as being the past or future and then the present. Your mind from the start was free from the fabricated extremes. Understanding this, do not take the mind inherent signs of subject and object. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. Verse number 23 and 24. All forms of suffering are like a child's death in a dream. Holding illusory appearances to be true makes you weary. Therefore, when you meet with the disagreeable circumstances, see them as illusory. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. And then the next verses show the practices of the perfections, the six perfections, the perfection of generosity, perfection of ethics, the perfection of patience. So if you wish to have higher rebirth in the next birth, that wish will not lead to the liberation. It doesn't become a cause for liberation as such. And then next is there of the practice of patience. Then the practice of the perfection of effort. And then verse number 29 shows the perfection of concentration. So you should create the causes, meditate, do develop concentration, which causes that of becomes a cause for liberation. And then verse number 30 shows that of the perfection of wisdom. This is the perfection of the wisdom that is complemented by that of bodhicitta. And then verse number 31, what it says is true, because if you do not examine yourself, as Jyotirmila Rupa has said, you may appear externally as a religious person, but you are not. It's not certain that you are a practitioner, a religious person. Verse number 32, 33. Reward and respect cause us to quarrel and make hearing, thinking, and meditating decline. From this reason, give up attachment to the households of friends, relations, and benefactors. This is a practice of bodhisattvas. And then for 34 and 35, 36. In brief, whatever you are doing, as you ask yourself, what is the state of my mind? With constant mindfulness and mental alertness or introspection, accomplish others good. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. And then verse number 37 also done. And then the next verse, for all who want to train the bodhisattva path, I have written the 37 practices of Bodhisattvas following what has been said by the excellent ones on the meaning of the sutras, tantras, and treatises. Though not poetically pleasing to scholars, owing to my poor intelligence and lack of learning, I have relied on the sutras and words of the excellent. So I think the Bodhisattva practices are without error. However, as the great deeds of Bodhisattvas are hard to fathom for one who of poor intelligence and so forth, and this was written for his own and others' benefit by the monk Thogme, an exponent of scripture and reasoning in the cave of Ngunchu Rinchen. So this is a very good text for people to help people not to be tossed around by their attachment, anger, and so forth. Oh. So Dzongkha Chöde Monastery has printed this prayer to Avalokiteshvara. So because we are doing the initiation of Avalokiteshvara, the great initiation of Avalokiteshvara, and today the preliminary process and tomorrow the actual initiation. And so when you do tantric practice, you do guru yoga, practice guru yoga by viewing the lama, your guru, the master, and the deity to be inseparable in nature. So, in the Lamrim teachings, this reliance on guru section is taught in connection with the tantric practice. And tantric practice comes within the bodhisattva practice. So, this teaching is actually given in connection with the practitioner of the highest yoga tantra, to look at, to see Lama as a Buddha. And so, you should view the Lama and the deity of practice as of inseparable in nature, and you should not look at them as separate in nature. And so in any kind of tantric practice, there is always the meditation on emptiness in the beginning of your practice, and therefore you should think that everything is devoid of any intrinsic existence. And so you actually see the Lama, Yidam, the meditation deity, and your mind as inseparable in nature. So from this is done from the point of view of understanding the ultimate reality. So there's no degree of subtlety with regard to that suchness or the Dharma Dhatu itself. So it is that mere absence of inherent or intrinsic existence. So with regard to the emptiness of your mind, which is afflicted, and that of the Dharmakaya, in terms of emptiness, there is no difference in nature. And therefore, from by reflecting on emptiness, you should be able to see your Lama, your Guru, your the deity, and your mind to be inseparable in nature. So this emptiness is taught in the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, which is the object clear light. And then in the Tathagata Garbha Sutra, the subjective clear light is taught. And then this clear light mind is laid bare in the highest yoga tantra. And in the Dzogchen tradition, there is the mention of mastery, the vehicle of mastery, which is the mastering the nature of the mind, the ultimate luminous or clear light nature of the mind, which is the source of everything, arising from it and then dissolving back into it. So all states of mind has this nature of clarity and awareness, and the subtlest aspect of this clarity and awareness is the clear light, the subtle clear light mind. So these two, the object clear light, emptiness, and the subjective clear light, which is the mind realizing that emptiness, is these two are used to in the highest yoga tantra. And so from the point of view of object clear light, we can talk about rangtong, extrinsic emptiness, of the intrinsic emptiness. And then when you look at things from the subjective mind clear light, then there is the shentong, extrinsic or emptiness of the other. Because at the subtlest level of the mind, that mind is devoid of, absent of all negative or all of mental afflictions. So all four tantric sets of tantric practices, there is the field of merit or seed of merit. In the case of the Avalokiteshvara practice, you visualize your guru and then make offering and so forth, and supplication. And so all practices of a lama, based on lama, or you can call it guru yoga, are done to receive the blessings of body, speech, and mind of the guru into you, so that your body, speech, and mind transforms into the body, speech, and mind of the guru. It's not like blessing some inanimate object like a rock. But because this mind of us has the potential for the four Buddha bodies, which are inherent in beings, living beings. So because of the mind's nature of emptiness, it is possible to attain that of the purified state, the true cessation within ourselves. But from the point of view of them, with reference to the emptiness itself, there's no difference in nature of the emptiness of a purified mind, state of the Buddha, or the unpurified mind of sentient beings. So, Guru Yoga cannot be done without looking at your, without viewing your mind, Lama, and the deity as inseparable in nature. And for that, you need to think of the empty nature of the mind itself, and that you also have the potential for the Buddha body, for Buddha bodies. And therefore, in Tantra, reliance on Guru becomes very important. So, this is the sadhana of the inseparability of spiritual master and Avalokiteshvara.
(Clears throat) 这个人民群众就我们这些现在这样的啊，他们对人民公安的这个，这个是不是很多？这个你想，你想去也是没什么，就可能以前，你是什么通道包括的，可能什么什么的，然后再那么的，就是，甚至以前呢，就是很多人干过的，对不对？这个人民，这个，甚至说的，我就想，那天的我都会，就是为什么前段时间啊，那么就不是那么紧密，菜那么些，我们都当时。
So the beginning of the text gives the some kind of a opening remark, how important it is to do Guru Yoga practice, where you see your Lama, the Yidam, the meditation deity, and your mind to be inseparable. Then the text goes through the preliminaries, taking refuge, generation of bodhicitta, prayer of the four immeasurables, and then the purification and purification mantra. And then the actual visualization, which goes in the space of the Dharmakaya of great spontaneous bliss in the midst of billowing clouds of magnificent offerings upon a sparkling jeweled throne, supported by eight snow lines on a seat composed of a lotus in bloom and the sun and the moon. Sits supreme, exalted of Avalokiteshvara, a great treasure of compassion, assuming the form of a monk wearing saffron-colored robes. O my Vajra Master, kind in all three ways, holy Losang Tenzin Gyatso, the venerable Jajin Losang Tenzin Gyatso, endowed with the glowing fair collection and so forth. So the first through the fourth Dalai Lamas are not depicted holding a wheel in their hands, but the fifth Dalai Lama downwards, because he took the dual responsibility of the Tibet, he is depicted as holding sovereign wheel of a ruler. And so since I have devolved the political responsibility, you could actually visualize me holding in my left hand a vase of filled with, I mean, the immortality vase. So end over the glowing fair complexion and radiant smiling face. Your right hand at your heart, in a gesture of expounding Dharma, holds a stamp of white lotus that supports a book and a sword, and your left hand resting in a meditative pose, holding a now here His Holiness was commenting. Instead of thousand-spoked wheel, vase of longevity. And so when we talk about the mind, we talk about the, we actually describe the mind as a gross aspect, in gross, subtle, and the subtle most. And so similarly, in the case of speech, there are these three divisions.
Give me a mark, give me a number.
And then, so after visualization of the Guru, which ends with the verse, on my master's brow is a white om, within his throat is red R, and at his heart is blue hum, from which many lights shine out of myriad out in myriad directions, inviting the three jewels of refuge to dissolve into himself, transforming into this collections of collected essence of the objects of refuge. So here was the comment about the subtle, the gross, subtle, and subtlemost mind and speech. And then comes the seven limb practice, prostration, offering, confession, rejoicing, requesting, entreating, and dedication. Then comes the, after the seven limb, then mandala offering. And then the blessing of the master. From the tree in the heart of the Avalokiteshvara, seated in the heart of my venerable master, flow streams of nectar and rays of five colors, penetrating the crown of my head, eliminating all obscurations, and endowing me with both common and exclusive or powerful attainments. And then, Om Aguru Vajadara Vajadaga Manjushri Vagindra Samadhi Jnana Shasandara Samadhi Shri Bhattasan Sabasidhi Hum, the mantra of the Guru. And then the prayer of the graduated path. Bestow on me your blessings to be devoted to my master with the purest thoughts and actions, gaining confidence that you, O compassionate, holy good master, are the basis of temporary and everlasting bliss, for you elucidate the true path, free from all deception, and embody the totality of refuge's past number. And bestow upon me your blessings to live a life of dharma, undistracted, and so forth. And so, having done these practices of the sutra and tantra, you then do the merging of the guru into your heart. But with this, my supreme master requested in this way, now blissfully descend through the crown of my head and dissolve into the indestructible point at the center of my eight-belted heart. Now my master reemerges on a moon and lotus. In his heart sits Avalokiteshvara, within whose heart is letter three, encircled by a rosary of the six-syllable mantra, the source from which streams of nectar flow, eliminating all obstacles and every disease, and expanding my knowledge of the scriptural insights, teaching of the Buddha. Thus, I receive the entire blessings of the victorious one and their sons, and radiant lines again shine forth to cleanse away defects from all beings and their environments. In this way I attain the supreme yogic state, transforming every appearance, sound, thought into three spirits of the exalted one. And then Om Mani Padme Hum mantra recitation is done. And then 100-syllable mantra. And then the dedication prayer in the glorious 100,000-fold radiance of the youthful moon of wholesome practice, from the blue jasmine garden of the victorious treasure mines, method of truth. May the seeds of explanation and accomplishment germinate and flower across this vast earth. May the ensuing auspiciousness beautify everything until the limit of the universe, and so forth. So this prayer, and then the concluding prayers. And so this was written by Mm-hmm. And then there is also a shorter Avalokiteshvara prayer. So this is a short Avalokiteshvara sadhana written by His Holiness Namo Lokeshwaraya, homage to Avalokiteshvara, and it begins with a refuge verse and bodhicitta verse. I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Sangha until I'm enlightened through the collections of generosity, through generosity and other practices. May I achieve Buddhahood to benefit all sentient beings. On my crown, upon a seat of lotus and moon, sits my root teacher, who is inseparable from Supreme Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Lord of the world, with one face and four hands, and so forth. And then next, His Holiness is also giving the translating transmission of prayer to Avalokiteshvara to guide us from life after life. So in this prayer it says that may I be able to habituate myself with the with bodhicitta and the correct view. So that I am able to overcome all the defilements and reach the great state of enlightenment. So the 17 Nalanda praise I read yesterday. It's already 10 o'clock now. So first I'll take my tea. You remain. How tasty. Some people are laughing, so I'm actually indicating that I'm enjoying this tea. How tasty. So in the past, in Tibet, one Tibetan nomad was present at a Lama's initiation, and the Lama was saying, imagine that you have received this initiation, and then at the end this nomad took out a piece of a packet of butter and said that, Lama, please imagine that I am offering this butter to you. So you should also imagine that you are having a tasty tea. Well, I actually have the tea. So maybe we will be able to finish if we do quickly. So as I said earlier, So today, we are doing the preliminary process of the initiation of mantra, secret mantra Yana. So according to the Vajra 10th Tantra, there is the division of Tantra into four sets, Kriya, Charya, Yoga, and Anuttara Yoga Tantras. Whereas in the Dzogchen tradition, there are the three external Tantras, and then the Maha Anu and Ati Yoga. So amongst the nine Yanas, this particular initiation comes within the Kriya Tantra, and within that, in the Lotus lineage. So at the so in the text for the initiation rites of the preliminary process of the initiation, it mentions the fourfold sangha. So according to some tradition, the fourfold sangha is recognized or as the male and female novice monks and nuns, and novice monks and nuns, and the fully ordained monks and nuns. In that case, then the lay practitioners are not included. Whereas according to Master Nagarjuna's Sutra Samuchaya, there is mention, and then Abhayagara's commentary or something, there lay practitioners, two lay practitioners, male, female, and with vows, and then the bhikshus and bhikshunis are counted as the fourfold sangha. So in China, it is said that the Bhikshuni vow was established there, and whereas in Tibet, because of the lack of Bhikshuni who came to Tibet, the Bhikshuni vow could not be established in Tibet. So first, we will do the layperson's vows. So since we have quite a lot of lay people here, when we do the bodhicitta bodhisattva vows and so forth, it would be better to be people with vows. So those of the lay people who wish to take become upasaka or upasaki. So here we are going to do the ceremony for a full-fledged lay people with vows by keeping all five vows, which are not killing human beings, not stealing, not telling a grave lie, and not committing adultery, and then not taking alcohol. So these five precepts must be kept for a whole life. So I will recite the ritual for all five lay persons' vows. But if amongst you there are people who think that you will only be able to take one or two or three or four or all five, I mean, you should imagine, determine that you are taking those vows that you determine to take. So first of all, please make three prostrations to the Buddha if you have good space to do that. So first, please make prostrations, three prostrations to the Buddha. If you don't have space, just touch your crown, for throat and heart three times each. And then next, you please make three prostrations to me, from whom you are taking the lay person's vows. So if you have no problem with your legs, sit crouched, or if you have problem with your legs, then you may be seated. So whatever vow you take, they are taken on the basis of taking refuge in the three jewels. Therefore, the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, according to Chandrakirti in his 70 verses on refuge, these three are the objects of refuge or saviors for those aspiring liberation. So in the theistic religious traditions, they pray to God, and there's no talk about making transformation of mind as such, whereas in Buddhism, we do talk about transforming our mind. And therefore, for such a practice, those to whom you seek refuge is, in whom you seek refuge are these three, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So the Buddha is someone who teaches us that of selflessness, and then those of the Dharma comprising this true cessation and true path are the ones that we actually actualize within our mind, and then there are those of the Sangha who assist us on the path. Please repeat these, Master, please pay attention to me. Now say your name, I known by this name, say your name. From now till I live, seek refuge in the Buddha as the best of human beings. Seek refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. Seek refuge in the Sangha, the best of communities. Master, please consider me as an Upasaka or Upasaki for female until my death. Master, please pay attention to me. Now, say your name here. And from now until my death, I seek refuge in the Buddha as the best of human beings. I seek refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. I seek refuge in the Dharma, Sangha, the best of communities. And Master, please consider me as Upasaka or Upasaki until my death. So at the end of the third repetition, when you say, consider me as Upasaka or Upasaki for female, then you think that those of you who have taken these Upasaka vows in the past have not caused decline, they are enhanced, and those you that are declined, that have you have caused decline too, are recovered, and those of you who are taking it for the first time, you imagine that you receive a fresh set of Upasaka or Upasaki vows. At that time, I will snap my finger in order to indicate this is the time to think that you have received the vow. Master, please pay attention to me. I, known by this name, from now until my death, seek refuge in the Buddha, the best of humans. Seek refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. Seek refuge in the Sangha, the best of communities. Master, please consider me as an Upasaka. So when I snap, please consider that you have received the vows until death. So if we have time, we should also do repetition of the recitation of the precepts as well. But in other words, now, just as the past arahats and so forth have taken these vows and kept them and became enlightened, likewise, I will do so is the meaning of. So with regard to killing, I mean, even if you don't take vows, if you kill somebody, you'll land in jail. And then, if you steal people's possessions, also, you will land in jail. And it is the same case with that of the adultery or raping others. And then lying. So the critical thing here for lay people is alcohol. Bihar state is a dry state. Alcohol is not permitted. It's banned. Whereas in Gandhi's time, he did try to set this rule in India to be a dry state without and banning this. But of course, if you take alcohol too much, whiskey and so forth, it actually damages your liver. And so in every part of the world, there are people who have become sick through excessive alcoholism. And so this is some alcohol is something that is bad that we can actually see with our own eyes. And therefore, it is best to keep away from alcohol by taking the vow. In the past, my senior tutor gave these vows to a Tibetan lay people, elderly people, person. And then when Yongzhen Rinpoche, Ling Rinpoche explained these vows to him, the elderly man said, I'm sorry, I cannot give up Tibetan chang beer. So in that case, Yongzhen Ling Rinpoche very compassionately told him, in that case, don't take too much, just a little, okay? And so today, accordingly, I wish to tell you that you should not drink alcohol to the point of getting drunk, but a little alcohol may be permitted. And then, so in the so I do this ceremony for bodhicitta, generating bodhicitta, according to the bodhisattva Bhumi, as Master Tsongkhapa has done. So those who are taking these vows, so those who are taking the vows should have a sincere admiration for bodhisattva practices, the altruism. So because it is the source of all temporary as well as lasting goals of happiness. So you should have interest and admiration for bodhicitta and a warm heart. So not only in this life, but from life after life, throughout your lifetime, you should have this kind of a state of altruism, bodhicitta. And then on the part of the person who is giving this vow of bodhicitta, bodhisattvas, so on my part, I have a single-minded admiration for bodhicitta, faith in bodhicitta, and someone who takes the bodhisattva vows on a daily basis. I do that because I do self-initiation of tantric practices. on a daily basis. So we have done the mandala offering earlier. So here you need to repeat these. Please repeat. The I from you, so if there is not no obstacle to taking the vow of bodhisattvas from me, from you, please give the bodhisattva vow to me. So as a response to that request to give the bodhisattva vows, the Lama says this, in order to liberate sentient beings who are not liberated, free those not freed, relieve those not relieved, and not lead those beings to the Mahaparinirvana, those who have not yet reached that, please listen, noble child. Please say, yes, I want to take the vows. I want to liberate beings. I want to free living beings. Yes, I want to relieve those without relief and with cause to reach nirvana, those who have not reached it. And also that the lineage of the Buddha are not discontinued. So someone who practices bodhicitta becomes the heir to the Buddhas. Without the practice of bodhicitta, you may do recitation of mantras or do some retreat and meditate on emptiness and so forth, but you are not still, you will not become heir to the Buddhas. And therefore, since you have this firm faith, so you should have a firm determination in your mind to take the vows. And then there's also another are you not competing with others by taking these vows? Are you not forced by others to take this? Not no, just say no to these two questions. So if you were, for example, amongst the assembly with Shravakas, Pratyeka Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and you should not have this competitive thought that you want to be first in line. Do you have interest in the main primary principle scripture of bodhisattvas, which refers to the six volumes of Avatamsaka Sutra, whereas in Tibetan has six volumes, but it seems in Chinese there are more volumes than six. Have you heard these the bodhisattva scriptures? And yes, I know. And next is, will you be able to keep the vows? Yes, I will be, should be the answer from you. So if we were to do the whole of this So just as you imagined the Buddha in person here last time, when you took part in the Bodhicitta ceremony, imagine the Buddha here, and also surrounded by those of the close Bodhisattva disciples, the seven successors, and then the 17 Nalanda masters, and then 84 Nalanda, the Mahasiddhas, and those of the Maitreya and so forth, the close disciples of the Buddha in the form of deities, and then the masters of the Nyingma, Saitya, Kagyu, and Geluk, Jonang, the masters and the lineage holders of these traditions of the Buddhism in Tibet. So in order to develop, generate bodhicitta, let's say the seven limb practice, just the final one verse, through the practice of prostration, making offering, confession, and rejoicing, requesting not to pass away, requesting to teach the Dharma, I dedicate all these merits for enlightenment. So this is said three times. Whatever little merit I have gained through these practices, prostration, making offering, rejoicing, confessing, rejoicing, requesting not to pass away, requesting to turn off the Dharma, I dedicate it for enlightenment. So first, the disciples' request. Please repeat these. Master, the Bodhisattva vows, please bestow them upon me. Quickly bestow them upon me. Please quickly give them to me. And then next, it talks about delight with a single-pointed mind. You should feel great joy. So this is true on the part of the Lama himself, myself, in this very sacred land. Even if it may have been word, I've been able to give some introduction to this teaching on bodhicitta. And now, this time, preceded by the seven limb practice, that you are generating bodhicitta, and so that from now on I will not let myself be under the sway of self-cherishing attitude, but cherishing others over one myself, so that I will be able to live a meaningful life to help and benefit others. Because of doing this in this life, from the life after life, in the next lives, throughout your life, you'll be able to be able to practice the same. And therefore, just as we pray, may I never be separated from my kind, venerable master, and that I will be able to, that may I may be able to practice the path so that I reach the state of Vajradhara. So, throughout my lifetimes, without being separated from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, so that I will be led to that of the omniscient state of bodhicitta. So you are, by making this kind of, by feeling joy in your heart, you are creating such auspicious course for enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So I feel myself very fortunate. So when to be able to give this kind of ceremony for bodhicitta and also for aspirational bodhicitta, as well as doing the ceremony for the bodhisattva vows, I feel I'm able to create lots of merit. And next is asking the whether you have any obstacles or not. So, the former Gaden Tirumbuche, his name is Thubten Nyima. So, the noble child. The greatly learned Master Thubten Nyima and other fortunate disciples, I'm asking you whether you aspire to enlightenment. So as I have explained about the benefits of bodhicitta, if you have just a single thought of this bodhicitta being great, I mean, you should say this: yes, I do make aspirations for bodhicitta. I mean, the enlightenment. Are you bodhisattvas? Is the question. So, though you may not be a bodhisattva yet, you still have the determination to become a bodhisattva in the future. That is my wish, you should think. You should have said that yes, I will. And do you want to take the bodhisattva vows from me? Although somebody may have the wish to take bodhisattva vows, but not from me necessarily, and therefore, do you wish to take the bodhisattva vows from me, is the question. And your answer should be, yes, I wish. I do. And then the actual ceremony or ritual. So, we are born as human beings. And we have this marvelous brain to think about the future, a long-term future. So the insects and other animals are not able to have farsightedness, but we as human beings are able to think about them with a farsight. So for that, of course, human life is very important. But even as a human being, if one is not able to make a difference between what is the shortcomings of the mental afflictions, so most of the people in the world do not see these afflictive emotions or mental afflictions like attachment, anger, and so forth as faulty. As I have explained before, in the Indian traditions, there is an acknowledgement of the mental afflictions, and within which there are subtleties, degrees of subtlety. And attachment and anger are rooted in ignorance. So being able to recognize this, that this ignorance grasping at true existence and also self-cherishing attitude, which I don't know if it could be considered as a mental affliction. So we are the ones who have these two, the self-cherishing attitude and grasping a true existence. And these should be seen as a false. And therefore, you want to overcome them. And therefore, you are, as we say, a human life, of precious human life, endowed with fortune and resources. So we are able to actually hear about what to adopt and what to discard, and also have the thoughts to reflect on them and make a difference in our life by adopting those that needed to be adopted and discarding those that needed to be discarded. And so through this, we'll be able to please the Buddha and the 17 Nalanda masters and so forth, and also the masters of the different Tibetan Buddhist lineages. They are going to be pleased as well. All of them see that it is that of the bodhicitta which brings about both the temporary and ultimate goals of happiness for oneself and for others as well. There's no greater force than bodhicitta which can bring us a benefit to both oneself and others, temporary as well as the long term. So I have taken the bodhisattva vows from Ling Rinpoche. Ling Rinpoche took it in front of the Buddha statue in the Mahabodhi temple here in Vajrasana. And so since receiving it from my late tutor Ling Rinpoche, I have given this several times. And this is, doing this today is to repay the kindness of the Buddha, and also Master Asanga, from whose text Bodhisattva Bhumi, and particularly the ethics chapter, I feel grateful. I feel fortunate to have this opportunity to give this bodhisattva vows from me. So have the single-pointed determination to take the bodhisattva vows. So the bodhisattva vows, morality of bodhisattvas that the past bodhisattvas have trained in, and the those who are to be will, and those who are, do you wish to take this from me? Yes, I wish, is the answer. So the greatly learned master, Venerable Thubten Nyima, and the rest of the audience or disciples, they wish to take the bodhisattva vows that the past bodhisattvas have trained in, that the future will the bodhisattvas have trained in, and those bodhisattvas in the present also train in. All the... do you want to take the bodhisattva vows from me? Yes, I wish. And then... and then at the end, when you say, yes, I wish, I mean, you should feel that you have received the vows of bodhisattvas. That you have taken, if you have taken in the past, they and caused decline to it. They are recovered. If they are not caused any decline to, then they are enhanced further. And if you are taking it for the first time, imagine that you have, you have received the complete set of bodhisattva vows fresh. So when you say yes, I want. So do you wish to take the bodhisattva vows, the precepts of all the bodhisattvas from me? Yes, I do. Please say that. So with this, the bodhisattva vow is done. And then next is asking the Buddhas in the six directions, four cardinal directions and one above and below. The master supplicates to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the past in the six directions and report to them that what he has done. So in my case, I can take rest from doing the prostrations in the six directions physically, but I'm just doing the gesture of making prostrations to the six to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the six directions. Today my life has become fruitful and so forth. I've become a Buddha's child. So bodhicitta is the main practice of all the Buddhas of the past, present and future, and bodhisattvas. So by seeing the benefit of bodhicitta, you should have a single-pointed determination that bodhicitta is something really amazing, and taking the bodhisattva vows. And so we have been able to engage in this, participate in this ceremony. So all of us are very fortunate. I also feel personally very fortunate serving the Buddha Dharma and having the title of the Dalai Lama as the 14th Dalai Lama. As the first Dalai Lama has prayed, to be able to practice bodhicitta life after life, and also to be able to cultivate and experience the clairvoyance. So I, just as the past Buddhist Dalai Lamas have done, they were very amazing masters. Sayang Gyatso, the sixth Dalai Lama, I will exclude him from this I feel that I have greater than the sixth Dalai Lama. So when I was talking with some other Lama about the past lives, and that other person said that maybe you were the Tsangyang Gyatso, the sixth Dalai Lama, and when he said that, I felt blushed. So, being able to serve the Buddha Dharma and also having this connection and through karma and aspirations with the land of Tibet and Tibetans, and also regarding the Tibetan kings, Songtsen Gampo and Tisung Detsen, particularly Tisung Detsen, it is clear that I have connection with him. And therefore, I wish I will do this. So, Bodhisattva Thubten Nyima and the rest of Bodhisattvas have taken Bodhisattva vows three times from me, Bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso, the Buddhist monk Tenzin Gyatso. I am witness to this, that Bodhisattva Chitim Nyima and so forth have taken these Bodhisattva vows from me. Please, so I report this to you, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattva Thubten Nyima, led by Bodhisattva Thubten Nyima and the others in the audience, have taken the Bodhisattva vows from me, Tenzin Gyatso, a Buddhist monk, Bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso, the Buddhist monk, a bhikshu. I'm a witness to this. So I report this to all the Buddhas. So Bodhisattva Thubten Nyima and the rest of the people here have taken the Bodhisattva vows from me, Bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso, the Buddhist monk. I report this to you who see everything without anything being hidden from your sight. So, His Holiness offers the flower also, particularly to the attendant himself. So without doing the prostrations and so forth, leaving that out. And next is
Dan
So at this time, this person, Tenzin Gyatso, as bhikshu in a Buddhist bhikshu, a monk who is in exile, so there are indications of this kind of ceremony having been done, such as the earth shaking and so forth. So proclamations of the earth earthquake and so forth are done, and so the root of virtue through this may cause to for the teaching of the Buddha to continue without decline, and in fact enhance further for the benefit of all sentient beings, leading them to the highest state of enlightenment in the end. So since this is having been taking the vow, has these qualities of becoming an unexcelled in terms of collecting inconceivable merit. So this is incomparable. The merits that we have accrued through this ceremony is incomparable. So we have done something excellent by taking, aspiring to bodhicitta and aspirational bodhicitta, and also taking bodhisattva vows. Now, because we have no time, we will won't be able to go through the explanation of the 18 root downfalls and the 46 secondary infractions. But we should. So these 18 root downfalls are mentioned in the succession Guru Yoga. The main practice is to restrain extreme self-centered attitude. If you can do that, you will not be overcome with self-cherishing attitude. And praising oneself and despising others and so forth also will not happen. So if you are able to restrain self-cherishing attitude, thinking only of yourself, then the 18 other of the 18 root downfalls will not be indulged. And then the 46 secondary infractions also will not sully you, maintain you. So it's important to think that consider that you are not tainted by the 18 root downfalls. So having come here with great hardship, and when you go back home, people back home should be able to say that, oh, this person was quite bad, quite selfish in the past, but now, after going to Bodh Gaya and coming back, he has become better. But if people have to say that, I mean, you have become more quarrelsome and so forth, then that's a disgrace to yourself. And so, having come here and taken part in this ceremony for Bodhisattva vows, you should at least make some change within yourself to become a better person. I dedicate all the merits I have accrued through prostration and so forth to enlightenment. May the Dharma flourish for a long time through the coming of the Buddha and through the harmonious living of the Sangha. And that is, even if you may understand the Bodhisattva scriptures, so this is not very important to explain in detail. Next is the process of the preliminary process of Avalokiteshvara initiation.
Okay.
So first I'll do the Dharma offering to the obstacle beings. As I explained earlier, having generated bodhicitta for and aspiring the highest enlightenment and wish to reach Buddhahood, how do you actually become a Buddha? How do you create the causes for Buddhahood? You should actually gather the complete course of Buddhahood within yourself, and the substantial cause for that Buddhahood, the final goal, is our innate clear light mind, which should be transformed into the path so that the potential on the mind that is the clear light mind for the Buddha bodies becomes manifest. So without making any distinction between gross or subtle mind, first meditate on emptiness and so that you eliminate all the obscurations, the impurities, impure appearances. And from within that mind, it is meditating on emptiness. That mind transforms into the Buddha, yourself as a deity. And therefore, you can think from the point of view of emptiness, your mind, that subtle's mind, the Lama's mind, and also the deity's mind are of the same nature. So in the Kriya Tantra, there is meditation on emptiness, the empty deity. So you purify or dissolve all these impure appearances and so forth into emptiness or the clear light. And from within that clear light, you arises that of the resultant state of Buddhahood. So for that, this clear light mind is transformed into the path. So although in the lower tantra like this one, there is no clear mention of the the transformation of this clear light mind into the path and so forth, but they are actually explicitly mentioned in the highest yoga tantra. So in the greater, the more extensive path, I mean ritual, we have certain practices like examining the land, and then that of the preliminary process of the deity and so forth, and then the certain rituals related to that of the vows arising or generated into the deity and so forth, and then there is the preliminary process for the disciples. So Dr. Rinpoche's tradition in Dr. Rinpoche's tradition, the vase generated into the deity is put in the mandala and then given. So isn't this verse from Maitreya really amazing? May the Dharma drum, the great sound of the Dharma drum, dispel the suffering of beings. And may you live for inconceivable eons. So receiving the initiation with the motivation for success in this life is wrong motivation. The purpose is for the benefit of all sentient beings, and to serve all sentient beings, you should focus on enlightenment, to reach enlightenment, Buddhahood, for the benefit of all sentient beings as quickly as possible. So this is your focus, a goal. As Gungda Rinpoche has said, if you use tantric practices for certain worldly gains, like wealth and so forth, power and so forth, it is like turning sandalwood into a charcoal. So many of us seem to do that. this is wrong. And therefore, here, the motivation for taking the initiation should be to benefit all sentient beings, just as you have already determined earlier. And for that, whatever practices I do, such as for the practices for longevity and wealth and so forth, I will do these practices to as a means to benefit other sentient beings. Next is the disciples arising into the deities. So the main practice is to overcome grasping at true existence, this ignorance, which should be done through the realization of emptiness and not otherwise. Mere meditation of yourself into a deity will not do that. So it's important to think along these lines. I'm neither my aggregates nor separate or different from, separate from them. I'm not within the aggregates, nor the aggregates are in me, nor do I possess the aggregates. And so think along these lines and meditate on emptiness. So when you think along these lines, it should, with reference to the deity, you as the practitioner, the deity and the action of visualization and meditation of a deity do not have any intrinsic existence, and that should destroy all objectification. So within that mind, which is absorbed in emptiness, the absence of any intrinsic existence, when you stay within that absorption, then all the varieties of appearances also fade away and go away from your sight. So within that meditation, from within that meditation where you ascertain emptiness, then you arise into a deity with one face and two hands. Please repeat these lines. Protector, please lead me into the great city of liberation. And then next is letting the disciples to have firm faith in Dantrayana. So to reach Buddhahood, mere wish will not lead you there, and you will also reach Buddhahood just by doing some mantra recitation. So the substantial cause for that should be understood from the point of view of what you attain, that of union state.
Yes,
with the master putting his feet in the center of my heart, as Lama Chepa says. So by looking at the Lama and the meditation deity as inseparable in nature, and your mind merging with them as having no separate identity, then you attain that of the illusory body, and thereby reach the union of illusory body and the clear light. So this is only possible through the highest yoga tantra practice. And for maturing your mind for such a practice, there are those of the lower tantric practices of deity yoga.
Kagire kawale sti. Peche de chigi tang do kawale. Chigi tang sha.
So please repeat this. I seek refuge in the three jewels. I confess all negativities individually. I rejoice in the merits of all beings. I take to heart Buddhahood. So we send it again. I shall develop supreme enlightened motive, and towards all sentient beings, my invited guests, I shall act with supreme enlightened conduct. May I become a Buddha to benefit all. I seek refuge in the three jewels. I confess individually all negativities. I rejoice in the merits of all beings. I take to heart the perfect state of Buddhahood. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly. I do so to attain enlightened mind. In order to fulfill the aims of myself and others, I shall develop supreme enlightened motive, and towards all sentient beings, my invited guests, I shall act with supreme enlightened God. May I become a Buddha to benefit all. So please imagine all your vows are enhanced further, the Bodhisattva vows. I seek refuge in the three jewels. I confess individual all negativities. I rejoice in the merits of all beings. I take to heart the perfect state of Buddhahood. I go for refuge in the enlightened Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I do so to attain enlightened mind. In order to fulfill the aims of myself and others, I shall develop the full supreme enlightened motive, and towards all sentient beings, my invited guests, I shall act with supreme enlightened conduct. May I become a Buddha to benefit all beings. So yourself as the deity, Avalokiteshvara, with one face and two hands. Imagine Om, Ah, and Hung at your forehead, throat and heart. And with this, imagine that I touch your heart, throat, and crown with a Hum, Ah, and Om, and bless your body, speech, and mind. So far, I mean, until now, your body, speech, and mind have been used to create sin. Whereas now, all actions from your body, speech, and mind are blessed into the virtuous states to create virtuous actions. So this is the meaning of blessing. So next is throwing the toothstick in the tray. So Tirumbuchi will do this, and the rest of the audience from all parts of the world imagine that you are throwing the stick in the tray, and imagine that Sri Rinpoche is throwing it on your behalf. So throwing this stick in the tray is to check which lineage you belong to, the disciples. And the more important thing is to check, because we are doing the actual initiation tomorrow, this is to check whether it's appropriate for you to receive the teaching, the initiation tomorrow or not. So since Tirumbuchi is going to represent everybody, please repeat this on Bezar Hasaha. So the tip of the stick pointed towards the Lama. The attendant was telling His Holiness that the stick actually pointed towards the western direction, but His Holiness is saying that I am the most powerful one here as the Lama giving the initiation, so I decide. So the tip of this Om Swabhava refers to the fact that all phenomena are empty of intrinsic existence, and therefore the mental defilements are not in intrinsic nature of the mind. This misconception, distorted view, the ignorance is not in the nature of the mind as such, because you can eliminate it, eradicate it, once you develop the knowledge and wisdom of emptiness. Next is giving the protection thread. First, we'll have the Kusha grass distribution. Since you need to check your dreams tonight, in order to check your dream, you are given a Kusha grass. So you should keep this Kusha grass under your or on the side of your bed. It is a material for purification, cleaning. So there are two pieces of Kusha, one arising from hum and the other from the syllable. And next is giving the protection wheel, protection string, sorry. So each person will receive, should take one string each. And usually it is considered as a secret, a secret substance or material. And so for the monastics, it is worn on the left arm. In any case, it doesn't matter. It's better not to lose it. And so if you wear it on the right or left arm, doesn't really matter, but the important thing is not to lose it, so you may put it in your pocket. Keep it in your pocket. So this is a protection with the Maitri mantra. Buddha Maitri Raksha Raksha Soha. And next is explaining the Dharma and making the disciples delighted. The essence here is, even the scientists today say that through the universe came into being through this great Big Bang. Some say it's 12 billion years ago that it happened. Some others say that it's 25 billion years. So whatever the case, this after this great explosion, then gradually the stars and the planets and so forth formed. The sun is because the sun is closer to us, it looks big, but there are other stars which are bigger than the sun itself. And so the sun evolved around 5 billion years ago, and then the solar system, including this Earth, were formed. And it is said that it's been about 1 billion years since living beings evolved. So in our also texts also, the world system came into being through the five elements. In the Daily Yoga practice also, degeneration practice, we imagine an empty space, and then from within that, then the other rest of the things arise. And so in the highest yoga tantra, there's this explanation of how the world is formed, how the mandala and the beings come into being, and so forth, which are quite similar to the scientific explanation of evolution, whereas certain aspects of our cosmos, as described, cannot really hold true. So other religious traditions talk about this one world, but in Buddhism we talk about limitless world systems, and also sentient beings, humans, and then there are other living beings like gods and asuras and yakshas and so forth. So from amongst these innumerable sentient beings, we are born as human beings in this age of light, within which, during the time of the when the Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching is still extant, and we are at a time when both the teachings of Sutra and Tantra are still alive. So Sutra teachings were formed, the general structure, and then the specialized teachings of Tantra also. And therefore, we have four sets of Tantras. Now, Tantra, which are very difficult to come by again and again. So after many dark ages, it is said that an age of light comes. So it is very rare to come by. So today the world has 7 billion people. 1 billion are non-believers, and the 6 billion are supposed to be believers, but there may be about a billion Buddhists, and from amongst that 1 billion, those who follow the Nalanda tradition are small in number. Although China has big number of Buddhists, so as Shantideva says, as the text says, just as the Udumvara flower is rare to appear in the world, so is the case with the Buddhas. So today you have found a great gift. So through this great path of the great vehicle, you will become Tathagata, and so with this understanding, you should feel joy in your heart for having taken part well in this, taking part in this preliminary process of the actual initiation. So feel joy. So as part of the preliminary process of this initiation, we did the Bodhisattva vow on the basis of the Bodhisattva Bhumi, and before that we did the layperson's vows based on their of taking refuge. So the preliminary process of the initiation of the great compassionate deity Avalokiteshvara is done. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it to you. May all sentient beings enjoy the pure land. In the land surrounded by snow-capped mountains, the source of all good and happiness, Tenzin Gyatso, Avalokiteshvara, the Lord Avalokiteshvara, may you live until the end of samsara. Tomorrow, since we are doing the Avalokiteshvara initiation, 11 phase, 1,000 arm, 1,000 eyed Avalokiteshvara. And after that, there will be Denshuk long life puja offering to His Holiness from Namgyal Monastery and the Mongolian teaching organizers. So, of course, you need to check your dream. It is important. But the most important thing is, I mean, for you to do, I would say, is to think over bodhicitta. The 37 practices of bodhisattvas are with you. Read it and remind yourself of bodhicitta. And those of you who are familiar with Bodhisattva Charya Avatara, Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life, I mean, you could actually reflect on the benefits of bodhicitta, the first chapter of Bodhisattva Charya Avatara. So that you could think that bodhicitta is the source of goodness. So if you are able to make your practice of bodhicitta effective, then the initiation that will happen tomorrow will also be effective. So that is more important, to internalize the teaching of bodhicitta. Yawa tam che kyung owa khang la chotong aba te da gi kewe tsa wa di gu kya sang bo chi chi.